Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We are stepping out of our groove, and we're going into new territory. I like to think of this as like kind of like off-roading, but we're like on skis down a mountain through a path that hasn't been grooved before. So we're gonna off-road and find some new neural grooves to path, which is kind of what we do like all the time. But today even more so, in part because we are in the season of the year that we're in. We're in brand new territory. This is the, what are we, maybe, well, 26 hours post-solstice, and the light is returning. And many myths and cultures, the idea of the darkness, the cold, the winter seasonality is in line with the maternal essence, that which is nourishing or nurturing. I know it doesn't always feel that way when we step outside. The old idea, however, was very much that this was the time of coming to stillness. It's a time where things could come to an end and have that be really nourishing. And then on the other side of that, the light comes in. And the light is thought to be very much the innocence of a child returning in a way that has never been here before. So we're entering new territory that has never been illuminated, that has never radiantly shone through you. And your particular expression of that, in turn, gets cultivated by your intentionality. So I was just saying off the recording that our intentionality is much like the riverbanks of whatever it is we're calling in to flow through us. The intentional pursuit of that happens by the means of the riverbanks, bringing in a sense of like containment and collapsing into form what hasn't been here before. So as we spark our attention that direction, I'd be so curious to see where we go today. And in part today, I get to off-road even a little bit more than usual because I'm not under any constraints at all underneath like we're doing a session on fear, or we're doing a session on houses 7 and 8, or any of the usual jazz. So we get to just go where we go and do what we do, which I mean, we always do to some degree anyways. And today, the purist of the riverbanks or the guide without that theme in place is going to, in my way of seeing things today, be held by the seasonality of the moment of what's here, along with the interface of how that intertwines with your intentions for what it is you're calling in. So if there is ever a time to be intentional about your intentions, this might be it. And this is often why I believe we get such a thing around our culture, and this year we're kind of onto something in a way with the New Year's Eve and the intentions and things like that. I'm not saying we cultivate them and necessarily out of, you know, the ways that we've been attempting to do that with shame and guilt and I need to do this, that didn't happen, so now I gotta do this, or that means this about me, and or all the other ways that we have interfaced with that, which is many, and I imagine if you're anything like me in this journey of life. And it's actually a time where we can just pay attention to, let's say, the dynamics of intentionality. Almost like an experiment, like you've never actually explored having an intention before, what it actually really means or does. What is it to be intentional in life? What might that look like? And I'm gonna suggest that one of the ingredients along the way is curiosity. You've probably heard me hark on this before. The other thing that I like to really bring in here is the quality of both presence and spaciousness. So in terms of today, we're gonna see what unfolds. On that note, I don't actually know where we're heading either. We get to go on that journey together and walk each other home. I'm gonna invite you to get comfy and cozy, connecting to your breath. As you find a place where you can either settle in to lay or be seated. And do feel free to adjust yourself, get comfy and cozy as you connect to that breath. Every inhale becomes an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into all of that. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that. And if any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking time to on purpose savor it. To on purpose slowly let yourself linger sensually here. Romance yourself here. And as you slow down to drink that all in, I invite you to really intentionally explore your resources. I invite you to take a moment to either look outward or inward. And the invitation is to let your gaze and your senses go for a bit of a tour. Go for a bit of a wander in the space that you're within, outwardly or inwardly. And then let them land on one thing in particular. Land on one thing in particular that just feels really good, juicy, useful, pleasant, or even simply neutral to be with. Take a moment to sort of slow down, to linger, to pause, and to drink in particular a handful of qualities that this seems to culture, to cultivate, to call in. And as you let yourself slowly, slowly, slowly drink this in, the invitation is to slow down and savor it even more. The savoring, the nourishment, the drinking in happens not by means of doing anything quickly, by means of slowing down to the point where it can actually be received. So as you drink it in, the invitation is to notice the response from the body and how it is being received. And as you drink it in through the body, any responses that are happening within the body get to also be savored. It's essentially lingered upon to be romanced through your being. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in these ways. Thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to the families that created you, the ancestors that created them, the lineages that upheld it all. And thank you deeply to this earth that has held, nourished, supported the journey for all of us, and those that have tended this earth well, that have cared for this land. We give our deepest gratitude. And thank you, thank you, thank you to all the elements, the sky above, giving us space and room to soar. The fire connecting us to the mystery, the edge of the beyond, the edge of the unknown that calls us into curious exploration. And thank you to the water that calls us into our deepest inhabitation of our bones, our essence, to our pulsation of the very rhythm of life itself. Thank you for the dance in this life and all the ways that it naturally gets to wildly pour through us. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. So We're actually starting off today's session with permissions. And the words, interestingly enough, are it's a privilege to be here. And linking that into the elements of earth. As in, like, it's a privilege to, and there's gratefulness or an honoring of existence itself. And it's interestingly enough to find, and hear me out on this, play with me on this one. It's defined by the consciousness of majesty, not in the sense of that word often, anyways, for me, I don't know about you, invokes in a sense of royalty. And I'm going to suggest that this isn't necessarily of one-upmanship. It's more like an orientation, not necessarily like a mountain peak to find yourselves on. And majesty arrives, orientation such as this arises when there's something larger than the personal story. When there's something that enters our perception that's broader and bigger than ourselves, like the earth, or whatever it is you consider to be a grounded representation of that which is broader than you. And it happens also without a need to figure it out or to interpret it. So I'm going to invite the mind to come to rest, as much as that may be possible, through to the back of the skull, and cultivating it in with a little technique. I don't talk about this one a lot. It's called Bebo's technique, and we have talked about it at some point or another in Buddhas and Butterflies. Bebo's technique in body talk is literally pressing, if we were doing it physically in person, gently over the eyes and supporting the nervous system to slow down, to come to rest, enter the parasympathetic zone. And in a way, it's like saying, take a load off, and for the yogis in the crowd, hit Shavasana. Let that all come to stillness. As we support the mind in slowing down and entering the territory where perception can actually orient to that which is broader than itself, we're more possibly able to stand inside an order that's really vast, that isn't there to impress us. It's not euphoric or dramatic or some sort of a peak. Often we chase the peak experiences in life. And it's an opportunity not necessarily to claim or achieve or to do something, but to rather just let that be felt through the body. And majesty comes with quietness. It comes with not a need to hold on to it. It's just a passing through that happens, much like the weather passes through. As we support the body in grounding into majesty that's not its own, yet nonetheless is never not here. It's a bit of a paradoxical mindfuck, isn't it? And it's inviting as well, much like we were saying about like the weather, it's inviting a sense of wildness to return into the system, to make space for things that don't necessarily have to happen in a logical way and don't necessarily need to happen in an intuitive way either. But there's some sort of a harmonious balance between the two. Just feeling the craving to have like eight tongues so I can share eight things at the same time and have them all be true at the exact same time. And that's sort of like the pulse of what I'm feeling into to a degree here as well, is it's finding something that's not beholden to one fixed point. And it's finding something beyond a logical point, yet something that isn't necessarily held on to through the intuition. It's held in a way through the feeling, through the felt sense. And as we work with that all, we're running a cellular repair. We're going back through the family lines. We're going back eight generations on dad's side. And dad's side representing the creative in terms of what the masculine does and how it does it actively. The feminine does creative too, it just does it in a very different way. And creation is one of those balance points between the two, although the creative element often gets attributed to the masculine. In the sense that it's one that does something about it. because it's the active force. So as we go back through the masculine lines, we're going so on the emotional frequencies, and particularly of worry, which is associated with that earth elements. And we're looking at the balance here of the clarity that it's meant to infuse into the system, and how that can be, oddly enough, temporarily confusing to the system. So sometimes clarity can be felt as confusion when it's being perceived through the mental lens versus the felt lens. So if we try to grasp clarity by just surely thinking about it, it often leads to more mental masturbation, as Dr. John Beltheim might say, in the founder of Body Talk. He had a very great sense of humor that way. And it can also be perceived, however, through the sense of feeling. The masculine doesn't usually slow down enough to feel it. So it usually just boldly charges forth and attempts to make sense of things, which actually then creates more and more ongoing confusion. This is the gripe that we often have in our world with things that are man-made or man-made systems. And this is where that sort of stems from or cottons onto, this sense of the internal knowingness in our own being, that our own man-made, our own drive to do so or achieve things creates a certain layer of chaos and confusion in the system. That ultimately, once it comes into a sense of recognition that it's confusing, gets to slow down and come to rest or stillness in a way that the feminine then comes into to balance with it. And then the feminine brings in the felt sense to it. Yeah. And when there's a balance here between the thinking and the feeling, there is a creative harmony that can exist. And amongst that, cellular repair, we're linking it all into the heart chakra to find balance. We're very much at a time of year where we are at a balance point. The balance point doesn't hang out for too long. Nothing ever really does. Again, we're already past it, and we're technically entering into the time of growth. And in this growth period, we're just at the very beginning of honoring the new seeds that were planted. And the seeds that got planted were the ones that fell in the last 6 months. So whatever it is you shed, whatever it is dissolved, whatever it was that carried pain, heartache, grief, breakdown, whatever it was that you let go of that might have really fucking sucked, or might have been like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to carry that weight anymore, wherever it was on the felt sense of things, it created the seeds of something different to be planted, different to grow here. And I like to think of ourselves as, on this journey, cultivators. So we're just simply cultivating through our own internal experiences of what it is we've let go of, what it is we're growing into to next. So what is it we've chosen to create for ourselves? Yeah, so as we work with this time where the seed is just starting to be recognized, there is the essence here of acknowledgement. So what is it to be acknowledged? What is it to offer, to receive, to dance in the territory of acknowledgement? Might be the very beginnings of perception, the very beginnings of recognition, the very beginnings of how it is we are orienting. With that, we are centering our awareness around the entire nervous system, coming into alignment with those perceptions, with those orientations, into being able to recognize and perceive that which is already technically here, because technically that seed is already, this is a bit of a non-linear mindfuck, but technically that seed has already blossomed into whatever it is that is going to be. And our job is really just to live into it into the next several months through this experience of surrendering into it. And along the way, being held in a deeper, larger community of life, of our connections in this world. And sometimes those connections can feel like they've come into contact kind of harshly, that they rubbed us the wrong way, that they've carried some angst, some grief, some rage, some sadness. And there can be a sense of, screw this, I'm just going to do it alone. I'm just going to do it on my own. This is not a lot easier. And amongst that all, we're going into the sixth house in astrology, which works very much with and discernment. It's an earth element in its way. It's working with the small intestine and the capacity to create nourishment and to drink that in through the lens of discernment, awareness, and the intellect while in relationality to another human being. Forgive my silence, I'm just tuning into this. Okay, just sitting with my own confusion. And finding the balance of how it is the intellect is actually meant to be in service to relationality. And the image that I'm seeing is of the intellect like bowing to another human being's intellect. And it's like, two humans bowing their heads and creating an intellectual exchange that it's actually of support into bringing into connection deeper awareness and even deeper discernment. So what if mental interactions were actually meant to create clarity and connection? What is it to have the mental realm be in service of connection and deepening into the groundedness, the quality of nourishment, the quality of earthiness. And it's coming up very clearly as the consciousness of without needing to fix, without needing to change. Without needing to manage. And I actually just see, it's cute, I'm actually seeing like the intellect now bow to the legs. And it's actually like finding the firm footing and being carried, being held lovingly, being nourished. And if the intellect doesn't have to do all the things, it actually gets to receive being carried and being supported. And that's interestingly enough, linking into this is not a muscle I go to very often, the digastric muscle. So the digastric muscle, it's just this little guy, and it hangs out at the bottom of the chin, and the chin, not in body talk, but in transformational breath work, works with the essence of hard work. And underneath that is meant to be this like shelf of musculature. The digastric muscle hangs out here to give a sense of support. And if it's a gastric muscle that gets offline in some way, we often experience our world as not being very supportive. That can show up in numerous ways in the body. It might show up as a sense of having TMJ, jaw clickiness. It might feel like you just have this toothache that you can never quite do anything about. It might be that your jaw muscles go into a little bit of agony. It might be hard to chew things, or it might be hard to open up, either which way, the masseter closing or the pterygoids opening up and relinquishing control. Or it can show up as headaches. It can all go all the way down as well into the shoulder and the upper back. So it can create this whole array of symptoms, pardon me, and that in turn can create a sense of instability, a feeling of ungroundedness, a feeling of I shouldn't really be here. I don't actually know how to take action or how to move forward. So it can just perpetuate cycles of confusion and create ongoing looping. So it can create some interesting chaos in the system. And sometimes we actually on purpose need to get a little bit chaotic and ungrounded in order to find a new ground. That's actually a part of the whole process. And here we're actually it's coming up as supporting the digastric muscle in a few different ways to support bringing it back online, much in the same way that we're calling in this time of year the light. It's like bringing in the light of the supportive essence that gets carried through here. So here we're bringing in circulation of all the healing resources, and I see it acting as like a mantle or a shelf. It reminds me of like when my dog puts its head on something like a pillow or a stuffy that he's resting it on. There's a sense of like, it's to happen. So this is not supported by poking or prodding. And if you do have any of those symptoms, usually fussing around with them, anything manipulative in terms of like physical manipulations with your body or somebody else doing it to your body can often just create a looping cycle of it, never really getting out of its, cycle. And the idea here is that it's actually not calling for something else to do. It's calling in for rest, for support, for coming to stillness, which is very on point with our theme today. Love it. So it's bringing in now as much like that mantle or that shelf for this part of the body to rest itself on. The circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with the the chi or vitality. I'm seeing that come in with some heat in a good way. That's actually bringing in the capacity to like defrost any sort of shutdown or frozenness here. So it's bringing in again like light, bringing in a sense of warmth, just to release anything that's been habitually shut down into like winter frozen cold mode. Yeah. And then we're bringing in consciousness or awareness right down into the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and all of the endocannabinoids, which bring in support to our. Well, how do I want to say this today? It feels like a balancing of the nervous system and the energy that can run there in between the oscillations of anxiety and depression can also heal powerfully the immune system and our cycles of a recept, pardon me, rejection or acceptance. And it also goes into healing pretty much every system in the entire body. The endocannabinoid system is not one that's well understood through any scientific, intellectual pursuits. It's one that's often felt in the system when we're in altered states of consciousness. So it's not terribly, there's not a lot of information out there on it. And it was actively taken offline when the cannabis was legalized, or pardon me, made illegal. And because cannabis works through, it's an external cannabinoid, you have a like 2,000 internal cannabinoids that all work through the same receptor system. But cannabis was like the one external one. And it's interesting, there was a lot of fear about that that came into play. So it shut down our awareness of the endocannabinoid system from being as widely available or known or intellectualized about, in a way that honor, in essence, its true sort of spirit of the desire to be more engaged with through the felt sense. It's one way of looking at it. That's what I'm going to make up about it today. And in addition to that, we're also bringing in the circulation of the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection. And then we're bringing in hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy, releasing the impurities that no longer need to be here. Then we're going to run a defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that no longer needs to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing, for clarity, for in particular support. And we're just simply linking it into the organs of perception, your sensory organs, the inner parts of the nervous system that receive that perception, and in turn linking it into the components of your being that organize your orientation. And without breaking those down into all their nitty-gritty parts, I'm just going to call it your orienting system. And with that, we're linking it into the back of the skull where it joins onto the spine. And this is much like the shelf, or it's much like a shelf where awareness is meant to sit. And it's particular bringing in, not awareness, pardon me, it's where orientation is meant to sit. And it's particular bringing in the orientation of majesty. That is linking into the seat of awareness, which hangs out roughly behind the nose, behind the bridge of the nose. And then we're linking that all the way through to kidney one acupuncture points, hanging out in the center of the foot, connecting the bottom of the foot, connecting through the sole of the foot, the sole of our being, into the earth. And supporting the earth in rising up its nourishment through to the very soul of our being into the kidney one essence, the beginning of our kidney essence, the beginning of our water elements, which carries our connection to our very core of our being. So it's literally grounding the core of your being. And as we support that in coming into stillness, supporting the intellect in slowing down even more and making space for the felt sense to come to the surface. It's defined by the consciousness of metal to water, which is very, again, apropos of the time of the season that we're in. So if we think of metal, metal can be sharp, metal like a razor blade. It can be like a really dull ceremonial sword. It can carry a whole schwack load of forms in between those two. And whatever form it's in is meant to be like the depiction of the form of your intellect. So you can imagine the element of metal in whatever form, imagining like razor blades, imagining swords, needles, whatever form the metal might be in your system, and you might even have a felt sense of that now. Feel free to tune into that. There is the calling of that at this seasonality to, if you can imagine it, liquefying. It's meant to liquefy into to water. It's meant to liquefy into our primal, primordial force. That creates, as we understand it from body talk, the sense of joy, as well as the sense of cleaning out any old impurifications, so we might refer to it. And this idea of really, it's just not necessarily here in a way that needs to be here anymore. It's just sort of like stagnant energy. And as we clear out the intellect by creating liquefaction. There's just the capacity to support our mental body in going with the flow. And it might even mean that we don't actually have to as staunchly defend our ideas, our thoughts, our opinions. And what a blessing that is, just before we head into the peak of the holiday season and the peak us in exchanging a lot of mental thoughts and ideas with other human beings. And this often creates a sense of fear and anger, which creates, from a body talk sense, the idea that we then need to be sick, which is why we see a lot of colds pop up after the Christmas season, because, or the holiday season, pardon me. From a body talk perspective, fear carries the essence of the viruses feed on, and anger carries the essences that the bacteria feed on. And the bacteria and the viruses will come into play to eat up the excess fear and anger and service of your system, not to make you sick on purpose, but to just balance out the intellect's emotionality and its responses to its ideas not necessarily being as valuable, or its ideas being more valuable, whichever way it goes, than somebody else's. And amongst that all, as we're arguing intellectually with that all with each other on a subconscious level, we are bypassing the main event, which is that of worthiness found within your lower back, found within the part of you that carries a certain, almost like an oak tree kind of quality of stability, of woodenness, not necessarily in a rigid way, but in a way that can stand its ground. Not necessarily in a way that needs to be defended, and also not in a way that needs to be torn apart and fed to anybody else. You don't need to light oneself on fire in order to be of service to somebody else. And you also don't need to be so staunchly hidden away from other people that it creates a sense of isolation or frozen wood. So it's finding the balancing of healthy wood in the low back, which is an area that's often governed by water. So this is where that frozen water is coming into play here. Or pardon me, frozen wood, which is, if you're in North America and Canada in particular right now, there is examples of plenty of frozen wood around us. And that frozen wood is also going through its own personal death, rebirth, regeneration cycle. So this is actually meant to play out this way. And it's like your worthiness gets to mimic that. And the question just becomes, is what's coming to light amongst your own worthiness? What's returning in your own value system held by you, about you, that doesn't have an impact, isn't held by relationality, that isn't held by anybody else around you, that might actually be getting in the way of how it is you're connecting relationally to other beings at this time of year. Okay. I feel like I got a bit preachy there. I'm always preaching to the choir, as I really preach to myself. Not all sinking into the eighth house, which is like the pinnacle of water, which is the pinnacle of death, rebirth, regeneration. And it's the pinnacle of where emotionality begins to find its flow. And again, it may go through experiences of places where there's a little bit of a shutdown, and that's like it's slowing down, trying to find its ground again, trying to find its nourishment again before it comes back into to flow. So as we come out of the frozen winter season, and we enter the defrosting season of spring, and we warm ourselves all the way through to the heat of the summer, which is the trajectory we're on in the next 6 months. The seeds not only begin to grow, but your own system begins to reorient around its personal capacity to flow through and around the areas that have felt a little bit shut down, and actually to perceive those shutdowns as a form of nourishment. The areas where you've been on purpose, consciously or subconsciously, without even any level of awareness on board, avoiding. And avoiding often gets a really bad rap. We think we shouldn't avoid things. And yet, avoidance might actually be in service of, again, slowing things way down to find new ground to come from. Okay. Those of us who study attachment theory, you know, we have this idea, and I think I've shared about attachment theory here before, this idea that there's anxiety, there's avoidance, or there's both at play. and or there's just security. And all of them are strategies by our nervous system that they learn to find a sense of safety enough to return to the natural essence of wildness that make us all up at our very core. We spend a lot of time arguing with each other, especially if you're in a facilitator role, about how it is we're supposed to do that or how it is the approach is of best service. And I think whatever we do that works for a system is the way to go. So no one way to do anything. Okay. Amongst that all, running a cellular repair. And this is actually acquired in this lifetime. And it's on the emotional, I'm gonna say frequency, but really roller coaster of judgment. And the emotional roller coaster that comes with the parts of us that judge, the parts of us that, or if you maybe just have one, that's how I think of it anyways for my system. And it's not that there aren't many parts that receive that judgment. The judgment part is in cahoots with a lot of other parts, so it gets around. And sometimes I perceive, or other people might be perceiving that, I mean, as there's different parts that have judgment. So however it is you relate to judgment, the idea is that the cellular repairs we work with the emotionality of it is that we're restoring the cells that have dealt with carrying the burden of having to perform judgment or do judgment back to their fullest potential of health. And it's like what they were using judgment for, they actually get to now use in a creative way for their system. They actually get to support their system in coming to life, in coming to, again, the creation of their experience in a way that lands them back in their own, your own unique individual wildness. And then it's coming to very simple phrase. And it's almost like full circle to where we began. And the words are just simply, I am here. I am here. I didn't know what song we were going to play at the end. I had a, I have options always lined up, but there was a sense of something else that was going to come through without having any knowing of what that was going to be in advance. So I've got it now, and I may have already given it away, but if I haven't, know that it might be just like a fun little surprise at the end. It's about 4 minutes long. That's all I'm going to say about it. Okay. Okay, so as we work with the elements of I am here, and as I playfully go into the territory of surprise, it's actually bringing that in as a consciousness definition of I am here, surprise. And sometimes we can relate to surprises in a way that feel like, yeah, I don't know, I should like protect myself from that, I should guard myself against that. And other times we might relate to surprises like, oh, thank God, something different is happening. I'm so grateful that came through. Thank you, lotto ticket, for coming through. Or thank you for whatever change of circumstances that were feeling kind of nitty-gritty or stuck in that rhythm that they found themselves in gets to come to fruition and gets to come to life in a new way without that stuckness there. So the question just becomes is how is it we're orienting to surprise? And that may play into how it is we're receiving or how it is we're opening to drink in the seeds that we planted and what we actually have chosen to manifest for ourselves. Okay, we're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. What is it to welcome your intentionality with the element of surprise? That's how I might sum up that whole bit that we started off with. How is it you might welcome your intentionality with the element of surprise. All right. And it kind of evokes this question of like, how might life be surprisingly in service to you? One of the ways that I love for my intellect to sort of like dabble or to rest here, if you want to give it your mind something to chew on, is this idea of like, what if that situation that you're in that you may or may not like, what if that was actually set up by yourself and you set it up as a way of, learning something, a way of surprising yourself with something that you didn't even know you needed to actually like learn about. So what if, you know, that situation at hand right now that you're kind of chewing on, what if you purposely set it up as something that you were offering yourself to learn about? And what if that was also needing to walk in parallel or hand in hand with a sense of I don't know, which I think is like literally like the ground of curiosity. The intellect loves to think that it knows the answers, and I feel like I drown in my intellect all the time. So if you're there with me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's this idea as well underneath it all that the ground of intellect, the place where it finds its nurturing and offers nourishing to the system and may be available through curiosity in a unique way. And that comes with a big ass helping of, I don't know. A big ass helping of, I actually don't have to have that figured out yet. And a big ass helping of, I actually can't figure that out. A big ass helping of intellectual humility. Or intellectual bowing. And as it bows, it begins to honor the harmonious nature of what's underneath the intellect. Don't believe me. Feel free to experimentally try it out and check it out and see. Check it out with curiosity and see what's underneath that all. And with that, we're gonna run one more cellular repair. Again, this lifetime acquired. And it's at the level of spirit. And it's working with the acceptance that each and every person is there on their own spiritual journey and no one system or approach or idea or dogma or intellectualization of it is actually any better than any other. In other words, it's working with the cellular repair on spiritual superiority, which I find is rather rife, well, in my own being, as well as within this time of year. There's something about it where we often love to tell other people how it actually is versus be curious about how it is they're perceiving it. I'm going like, hey, that's wild that you think about spirituality in that way. Interesting approach. Had never considered it before. So what is it to actually experience somebody else's point of view on their spiritual journey with intellectual humility and intellectual like, I actually don't have the answer, I don't have it figured out either. And to listen to a sense of they might even be really sure about their approach, and to listen to their own intellect. Play with that idea. Knowing that all the ideas, yours and theirs, are coming from that man-made system. Because if we can talk about it, if we can put it into words, if we can wrap a concept around it. It's in some way, shape, or form coming from the place of the intellect. And even as I say that, that too is a form of a, paradoxically speaking, a rigid dogmatic approach to it as well. Yeah. Words carrying the capacity to maybe point to it for ourselves, but knowing that it's material that's beyond words, we often spend a lot of words arguing about which is the right way. And that is linking into the territory of the body that hangs in between the spine and the shoulder blade on the right side. So it's working with the rhomboid musculature and all the territory of the body beneath that, including the notably the lung and the heart, and our sense of how the right heart and lung work together, which is the right heart sends the blood that's already had its oxygen used up back to the lungs, not just the right lung, it goes to both lungs. And then the lungs are meant to receive that and to drink in new air and then oxygenate the system to cycle back into the left side of the heart. So I'm being a little bit over dramatic, surprise. As I talk about it between it being the right heart and the right lung, this is more mimicking the right lung in particular, the masculine, the active components of our exhale. So that too is a paradox, because our exhale is thought to be the act of passive surrender, and yet there is an action that happens despite us needing to do anything about it. The body just actively does something all on its own without you needing to be behind that action. And there is a physical movement that is an action that happens that, again, happens all the time without you having to do a darn thing. So the body is actually meant to run without you needing to fix or change or manage or do or achieve anything about it. So as it works with that essence of the purest form of not needing you to do anything about it, that it just happens automatically, it's linking that into all the other processes that happen autonomically or automatically by your system. And in the autonomic nervous system, there's a fair amount of will to drive towards our sense of autonomy or a sense of personality or personalness or sovereignty. And it's a place where we can often get confused. I also should be the poster child for this one, where we think we know how to do something that's better than other people or better than others. So it comes often with a side of superiority and all the one-upmanship parts of ourselves. We could put in a lot of words there. And there's a sense here of the opposite of humility, basically being at play. So the part of us that might know how to bow and to be humble is also held in balance, in check, by this part that thinks it needs to willfully power the system into being its own individual, the action that gets taken. And the sense of that you're actually somehow in charge of your own regulation of your own nervous system, which was something that you learned when you were small. You learned that other people couldn't do it for you, so you had to do it yourself, which set this whole sense of need to avoid or need to be anxious or both in play without necessarily being able to just peacefully settle into the nourishment of existence, would be the lens of attachment theory. And that is all linking into the 12th house as a place where we get to ultimately land in our sense of self that goes beyond the learnings of the experiences that we've held from other people, yet is somehow held in the safety of other people walking beside us without them dictating our learning experience about that all. Which might be not necessarily safety in the sense of there's walls that have protected you to feel safe enough, but safety enough in the sense of feeling nourished or held or cared for. To feel the majesty of what it is to be held in reverence by life itself. Without relinquishing into the permissions, life chose you. Life chose to move through you. Life is choosing you in every single breath. And there's nothing that you need to do to earn that. We're just linking right back into the low back around finding an orientation to worthiness, a solidification into, or a consolidation into the bones, the structure of worthiness. And we're linking that again down to the feet for solidity into the earth, and simultaneously up to the head for finding the capacity to carry that with lightness, with ease. And then we're tapping this out here. Invitation to breathe. Invitation to receive however feels right for you. If it feels right, connecting to that resource that we found earlier. And I've got a fun song for us for the next 4 minutes. I invite you to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Feel free to bring in any movement that you feel called to along the way, or simply be in stillness and feeling the internal movement happen from within. Hey, happy playing here.
There's no such thing as sin. Let it all come right in. I wanna make some mistakes. I wanna sleep in the mud. I wanna swim in the flood. I wanna fuck till I'm done. I like whiskey on ice. I like sun in my eyes. I wanna burn it all down. So let's start a fire. I wanna be lost. So lost that I'm found. Naked and laughing with my blood on the ground.
Thank you for that. I hope that was an interesting surprise. And or maybe you had it figured out before the song came on. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for playing in these ways together. And thank you for carrying the medicine that you do exactly as you are. Mwah. Wishing you a beautiful season of learning and growing. If you need any extra support, feel free to hang out afterwards. I'm going to say goodbye, and we will see you in the new year, the traditional calendar year. We gather Wednesday, January 7th next. Okay? Mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye for now, loves.